Ja-Ja. Break the chains and set us free. Babylon, Babylon, Babylon.
Welcome back. You're listening to Voices from the Frontlines. This is Manuel Yo-Yo, and I'm here with Damon Azali. And, you know, we wanted to, before we have on Javier Rodriguez, you know, obviously for both of us, me and Damon were marching. We marched with the FMLN, actually, most of the people from the Bus Riders Union and Strategy Center. And it was a pretty amazing, you know, day. I mean, I had been involved as a student down back in my old days at LACC during the mobilization against 187 and was part of the Four Winds student movement back in those days. And was, you know, obviously I felt at that moment very empowered by the level of movement that we had been able to build. But just to be there with a million people, where essentially our crew of people took over almost all of Hill Street, and basically there was three or four basic major intersections throughout LA downtown that were taken over by this march. And I think it's a great tactic that in many ways not a lot of us knew, I would say. You know, I think in many ways it surprised a lot of people, because it was so from the great work that a lot of the organizers were able to build inside the Latino community and inside in particular the Spanish media, as now it's sort of coming out, how was the viability of this action, has been just, to me, been a big move and a big shift in consciousness and a big moment of momentum. And I think for us, you know, one of the things that we're attempting to understand from Javier will be, is Javier going to give us an opportunity to talk about what are the next steps and what will be the ability of these mass mobilizations to be able to move legislation in the federal level?
Yeah, I mean, I think the real interesting thing for me, and I keep on putting, you know, I think the last show I also spoke on this, was that out in the streets with an incredible amount of people, I have never seen that many people in one place at one time, but then also seeing how heavily it was, you know, El Salvadoreño, Mexicanos, Latinos of all different nations and whatnot, and how few actually white folks there are, how few black folks there actually are out there. And I said I counted, you know, clearly, you know, with the FMLN and the drums and the chanting and, you know, the red flags and whatever, you know, I was a little, you know, I wasn't paying attention all the time, but there was definitely a point where I was looking around and there were very few folks of African descent. So, I mean, I think that's one of the things that we're going to be asking Javier when he gets on the phone. And just so you guys know, we're trying to reach him, and there's been some technical difficulties in terms of the phone line. So that's why you're getting Manuel and I are just breaking it down forever. It always to be broke. I think one of the other things we were talking about when we were going in the car today was the Sheila Jackson Lee bill that was being mentioned. And Manuel, do you want to say a little bit more on that?
Well, you know, I think that the interesting piece that, like I said earlier, that we really want to get with Javier is that even though we're building such an, I mean, him and the Coalition for March 25th have been able to build not only a huge, massive mobilization here in Los Angeles, but it's been a mobilization that's happened throughout the country. And in many ways, obviously, one of the major demands that most of the organizers are putting out is general and permanent amnesty for all immigrants. And yet, I would say on one level at this moment, it seems like H.R. 4437 in the moment, the most extreme pieces of that legislation have been curbed. And yet, on the other hand, though, the Kennedy-McCain bill, which is the one that a lot of people are talking about, has some major flaws in it. I mean, one, it would essentially, all immigrants, undocumented immigrants who are in this country, one will have to essentially say, yes, I entered here illegally. They're going to have to pay a $2,000 fine for breaking the law. It will be a process of 6 years, a continual process of every 6 years, to try to get, you know, get their status legalized every year. And even after the 6 years, there's no guarantee that you'll be able to get legalization for your full time. On top of that, Walmart and a lot of the agribusiness, you know, businesses are moving forward and are saying that they're going to get a $400,000 essentially low-skilled workers to come in, comparable to a Bracero program that was back in the 1940s and 60s.
Cool. So we are being joined on the phone with much much anticipation with Javier Rodriguez. Javier, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you very much, and I'm glad to be with you folks and the KPFK community, the Radio Pacifica community.
Well, Javier, let me give some folks a little bit of background about you. Javier was a leading member of CASA. He directed California Latinos for Jesse Jackson in 1984 and was co-founder of the Coalition for Visas and Rights for the Undocumented. He is currently a journalist in Los Angeles and a media expert on grassroots strategy. Javier was one of the lead organizers of the recent million-person pro-immigrant march that took place in Los Angeles on March 25th, protesting H.R. 4437. And so, Javier, I mean, I hope you got a little chance to talk. I mean, for us, you know, we were down at the march on March 25th. It was pretty life-changing for us. I mean, it was an amazing moment in history for us as organizers who've been organizing for a lot of years to have the vibrancy, the energy, the sense that momentum was being shifted. And then obviously as we all got to see, then the momentum of all the students walking out, you know, post that action has just been amazing. How has it felt to be able to pull off that such an enormous and incredible movement at this moment?
Well, it's an extreme pride in our community and communities and all the people of goodwill, all the people that believe that working people, with or without documents, have rights, have human rights, have a right to a good life, a home, an education, to a national health plan. It was just a wonderful, wonderful moment. And, of course, the strategy was to inject the undocumented immigrants and its organized sectors, the immigrant rights organizations, into the national debate. And in the process also galvanize the rest of the country. Mm-hmm. You know, the only thing that surprised us, because the 1 million people, we knew we were going to get it. It was just a matter of how many more above a million. What really surprised us was the galvanization of the country. Mm-hmm. We did not expect it at that level, and we figured that it was going to come after Los Angeles. Mm-hmm. But man, as soon as the message went out throughout the country that we were mobilizing the folks in the other parts, you know, perhaps there was already some efforts to mobilize, maybe like in Chicago, because they have some experience like we do. Some of us go back in Chicago and here, Texas, to the founding of the immigrant rights movement with the old man, Bert Corona, and the organization CASA, Autonomous Center for Social Action. And we came together. We came together on this one. And we used the decades of experiences, of analysis, of being able to develop a strategy, to develop tactics, to be able to influence, and to be able, most of all, the most important, develop a message of hope and get to the hearts and minds of our community. And particularly, in this case, which has been thoroughly, thoroughly highlighted, the Latino Spanish language media. Mm-hmm. It's been done before. Don't misunderstand me. It's been done before. It was done in 1994. Mm-hmm. They themselves came in. Mm-hmm. I remember clearly that the coalition, throughout the first months of its campaign, there were two marches then.
Yeah, I remember.
One
this.
In May, one in October. It. Right. So the first effort included representatives that integrated themselves into into the organizing process.
Mm-hmm. How would you measure, I mean, the level of organizing from 90, I mean, obviously you've had, like you were saying, your roots are in CASA and was one of the leading organizations that fought against some of the more reactionary bills that were passed in the late 70s and early 80s. But I know you also had a lot of work that you did also back in 1994 with the passing of Proposition 187. How would you rate those two different movements? Because on one hand, after the big march of, you know, 100, 200,000 people, you know, most of the work then went into a lot of work to get out the vote. And in some sense, the movement went into back into the courts to a certain degree. How do you measure then what's happened at this moment and what happened back in 1994?
Let me take you back to 1968,
mm-hmm.
okay? Some aspects that are not known, okay? In 1968, the old man with already 3 decades of experience, and out of MAPA, the Mexican American Political Association, founds CASA, along with several other labor organizers and community organizers. And a strategy is developed. And that strategy consisted of giving services to the undocumented, of giving them a card, an identification card, of going after organized labor.
Mm-hmm.
But going after organized labor with, of course, some friends, UE, longshoremen, and I mean the rest of the FLCO was reactionary.
Mm-hmm.
So it was like entering a battle, which was the struggle to democratize unions. And so that, plus entering that community as a whole, the Chicano movement, because the immigrant rights movement is born in the womb of the Chicano rights, civil rights movement.
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about 68, the year of the walkouts.
Mm-hmm.
But it's also born in the years of the struggle against the Vietnam War,
mm-hmm.
which the old man was part of. And there was also the student movement, not just here in L.A., the walkouts. It was a student movement throughout the country here and also in Mexico. Do you remember the 1968 massacre?
Mm-hmm.
And also France, the French student movement. So it had quite a responsibility in it. So the movement begins, and in 1971, there's a struggle against what was called the Simpson-Mazzoli Bill. And the Simpson-Mazzoli Bill is the forerunner of the Sensenbrenner. And the Dixon-Arnett Bill. It was in the state of California. And that's when Reagan was governor.
Mm-hmm.
And it called, for work sanctions and also for measures against the immigrant. And so we campaigned. This is 1971. We campaigned and we held our first marches downtown, and we couldn't get permits to walk on the streets, so we walked on the sidewalks. And so that came on, and we defeated the Dixon Bill. Then in Congress came the Rodino-Kennedy Bill. And we waged a campaign throughout, and in 1973, we defeated them. That was with 1 million letters, petitions, from throughout the country. We formed then what was called the National Coalition for Fair Immigration Laws and Practices.
Mm-hmm.
It was a small effort. It was at St. Joseph's Church here in downtown L.A., and we had about 150 people, 200. And we had representatives from different parts of the country. And we moved on to the following year, which was the second national conference for fair immigration laws and practice. We had about 700 people at East LA College, and that's when CASA began to expand nationally. And so the message of CASA and the work of CASA was founding the arteries, the venues of the immigrant rights movement of what you see today. But it also created, in creating this movement, in 1982 comes to the fore in 1984,
mm-hmm.
which was the years prior to the IRCA law of 1986, the
mm-hmm.
amnesty law. So what we used a similar strategy to the one we use today. We took the people out into the streets, and with 10,000 people on Broadway through the Jackson campaign, or let's say that we mounted on the Jesse Jackson campaign, and I mean, he was all for it, you know. Mm-hmm. His support for the undocumented worker was unequivocal, mm-hmm. and also of Maxine Waters and the rest of the campaign. I mean, we even had Jesse Jackson staying as part of the campaign in those days, stay at the home of Carmen Lima, one of the leading figures who was undocumented, an undocumented family. He stayed at her home in the housing projects of Aliso Village. So with those 10,000 people, Jesse moving and we moving the community and then moving on to the National Democratic Convention, mm-hmm. and the Latino delegates didn't need much push. They pushed hard. They did not allow Walter Mondale, you know, the mm-hmm. de facto candidate, to speak to them mm-hmm. with the chance of no Simpson Mazzoli. It was great. It was great. So
Javier, I want to kind of interrupt a little bit
ahead.
Just because we don't have a lot of time, and I wanted to get particularly what is going on right now. Because I think this is what one of the things that people can actually help out on. So in terms of, can you lay out what the demands are for your coalition, like the specific?
Look, essentially, on May 1st, when we believe this campaign may culminate, when we're calling for a national boycott of the economy, no work, no school, no purchasing, and no opening of your shops. And we already have a good 30, 40 cities on the list in support of the coalition. This Sunday we have a national meeting, which will be video conference nationally. With the upsurge that is taking place throughout the country, we believe that we're going to effect the national economy, and we are going to force the hand of the establishment. And not only are we going to bury, put the nails in the coffin of the Sensenbrenner bill, but we believe we will be improving the clauses, taking off some of the bad clauses of what was approved in the Senate Judiciary Committee, such as that 6-year wait for an immigrant, mm-hmm. to where he has to get a permit every year, mm-hmm. For 6 years, and then be allowed to apply for permanent residency, and then having to wait in line for the tens of thousands that already are in line, supposedly in the legal way, mm-hmm. and that's absolutely ridiculous. Mm-hmm.
So even Bush saying that he would give permanent residency to the so-called guest workers, that they would also have to go after them. I mean, essentially, the people who are already here, reside already here, would have to wait all this whole time period. You're listening to KPFK 90.7 FM Los Angeles, 90.7 FM in Santa Barbara. This is Voices from the Frontline segment. And this is Manuel Criollo with Damon Azali, and we're with Javier Rodriguez, one of the organizers of the March 25th coalition. Javier, that's where I wanted to get a little bit from your perspective. You know, here you've been able to build an amazing movement, and yet given the demographics of the country, and given the, to a certain degree, the right-wing nature of the country and their anti-immigrant sentiments, that we're really functioning under bills that really won't at the end of the day are very problematic. How do you view that? I mean, what has been your position on the whole Kennedy-McCain bill that the Senate has been discussing?
Well, you have to define, Manuel, problematic. Don't fall into the left rhetoric, okay, of that they're just giving us a promise and all that stuff. We already have the experience of 1986. In 1986, 3.5-4 million people were empowered. They did receive their work permits. They did get their residency. And remember that not too many became citizens until the next cycle, when the blows came by way of Proposition 187, and of course the Democratic, which was really the one that began to intensify that anti-immigrant sentiment throughout the country. You remember Feinstein, Senator Feinstein, and unfortunately Senator Boxer. They began to play up the issue of the prisoners, the undocumented prisoners, which were draining the economy, and they had pictures of themselves or trips of themselves in at the border and so forth. So parting from that experience of 1986, you look at and you make comparisons. You look in mirrors. And then after you analyze what was obtained in 1986 and the results of 1986, meaning the empowerment. Empowerment means, remember I said at the beginning, CASA 1968, mm-hmm. giving that immigrant a card.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what that card meant? As little, as with little, let's say, acceptance in the business and so on, that meant that he had some kind of identification. Mm-hmm. He was somebody. I am somebody. That's real important for people to understand and not fall into, you know, the rhetorical games. No.
Well, Javier, you can't say it's just a game when we know that the U.S. government wants to put 700 more miles of a fence in front of the U.S.-Mexico border.
Manuel, and that's already been defeated, Manuel.
It hasn't been. But when Bush was talking to Fox, Bush was being very, very severe about that he was going to look for real enforcement of the border. And the whole capturing of this conversation inside a sort of anti-immigrant, anti-terror conversation,
well, Manuel,
how do we shift the debate?
That's why you and the Labor Strategy Center and bus riders and the rest of the KPSK community, all the progressive sectors that you reach, and the rest of Pacifica have to come in at the beginning. Now, we're moving towards May the 1st. We're moving towards a national economic boycott. We already have the experience of, remember, we already have the experience of December 12th, 2003.
Mm-hmm.
We mobilized over 1 million people. That's a fact. It's proven. Over 250,000 students did not go to school, did not go to school on when? On that day. It was a Friday. It increased the absentee rate by about 30%. One third of the student body in one, the largest in California, LA, did not go to school in protest of the suspension of the Cedillo license law.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not saying anything. We're not like inventing. The strategies are based on the experience of our people and the accomplishments of our people, and also the psychology of our people, of the culture of our people. But this time we're expanding over to the African communities, the Asian communities, which have been part to a certain degree already of this process. They were part of the March 25th process.
Mm-hmm.
We're going after the Caribbean communities.
Mm-hmm.
There's already the contacts are being made. You know the march that took place yesterday in New York?
Mm-hmm.
That was tens of thousands of people reported by Amy Goodman
and
this morning. Well, that didn't consist of the Mexicans only.
Mm-hmm.
Although we're the more experienced, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Yeah, it consisted of the rest of the communities.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, Javier, let me be clear with you. I mean, obviously,
for
the Strategy Center, and I mean, I can't speak for KPK because obviously I'm not an employee of KPFK, but as an organizer inside the Strategy Center and hopefully inside the BRU, we're going to go and support completely May 1st. We're going to go out on the bus, do real outreach to talk for a general, you know, for a general strike for that day, and we want to be very supportive of it. Talk to me about what's the plan for May 1st. Is there going to be a mass mobilization in Los Angeles?
It's people not going to work, Manuel.
And is there
people not going
right
to school? People not buying anything, and the shop owners, because we do have an extensive support of the shop, of the shopper. In other words, of the merchant class.
So are we going to have
a lot of support there? And yeah, they're not going to open up, but we do have a major mobilization again in downtown LA.
Great.
We're not going to march. We're going to concentrate. Pretty much like we did on December 12th of 2003. There must have been over 100,000 people that congregated around the founding place of the city of Los Angeles.
So around
La Placita, yes.
Okay, that's great. So how do they get a hold of the organizers, or what are the upcoming events that people should be preparing for?
Well, we're putting, let's say in conjunction with some students, we're putting together a meeting tonight at 6 o'clock in La Casa del Mexicano for students. Just like it happened in San Diego a few days ago, there was a mass march of 5,000 people, 5,000 students. In other words, there the students didn't walk out of each school and march on their own, but they came to one place, the Chicano Park, and from there they took the town. And in our context, Los Angeles, students have already marched all over the place. They have walked out of 40, 50-something schools, and they have definitely made their mark. But now we're going after a big, big mobilization.
What about
maybe
April 10th?
100,000. The April 10th is also one of the major mobilizations throughout the country. Arizona just declared that they are going to go after, that they believe that 100,000 people will be mobilized.
That's
this is
incredible.
In Phoenix.
Yeah.
Can you imagine what's going to happen to all that anti-immigrant sentiment?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then for May 1st, then where can people get a hold of either the crew of folks who are mobilizing or the March 25th coalition?
You can reach Jesse Diaz, the brother that built the infrastructure for this whole movement. I was the one in charge of the political and media strategy. He's at 951-756-5712. And his email is jdiaz with a Z 001.ucr. The guy's studying for his PhD. I don't know what he's doing. ucr.edu.
Edu. So it's jdiaz001@ucr.edu for one of the major organizers for the March 25th coalition. Thank you, Javier Rodriguez. We'll see each other in the streets on May 1st, and hopefully before.
On the contrary, Manuel, thank you.
Okay.
Hasta la vista, compañero.
Okay.